You know, I woke up one morning thinking my real dad was just a scientist and went to bed knowing he could have wiped out the entire human race. It messes with you.
Your father was a good man to you, I said. Whatever else he was and whatever else he did, he got that thing right.
Zoe walked over to me and gave me a hug.
Thank you for bringing me here. You're a nice man, 90-year-old dad, she said.
You're a great kid, teenage daughter, I said. You ready to go?
In a second, she said,
and walked back over to the gravestone, knelt quickly, and kissed it. Then she stood up and suddenly looked like an embarrassed teen.
I did that the last time I was here, she said. I wanted to see if it made me feel the same.
Did it? I asked.
Yeah,
she said, still embarrassed.
Come on, let's go.
We walked toward the gates of the cemetery. I took out my PDA and signaled for a taxi to come pick us up. How do you like the Magellan? I asked, as we walked.
It's interesting, Zoe said. It's been a long time since I've been on a spaceship. I forgot what it was like, and this one's so big.
It has to fit 2,500 colonists and all of their stuff, I said.
I get that, Zoe said. I'm just saying it's large. It's starting to fill up, though. The colonists are there now. I've met some of them. The ones my age, I mean.
Meet any you like? I asked.
A couple, Zoe said. There's one girl who seems to want to get to know me. Gretchen Trujillo.
Trujillo, you say? I said.
Zoe nodded.
Why, you know her?
I think I may know her father, I said.
It's a small world, Zoe said.
And it's about to get a lot smaller, I said.
Good point, Zoe said, and looked around. I wonder if I'll ever make it back here.
You're going to a new colony, I said, not the afterlife.
Zoe smiled at this.
You weren't paying attention to the gravestone, she said. I've been to the afterlife. Coming back from, that's not a problem. It's life you don't get over.
Jane's taking a nap, Savitri said, as Zoe and I returned to our stateroom. She said she wasn't feeling well.
I raised my eyebrows at this. Jane was the healthiest person I knew, even after she had been transferred into a standard human body.
Yes, I know, Savitri said, catching the eyebrow. I thought it was odd, too. She said she'd be fine, but not to disturb her for at least a few hours.
All right, I said. Thanks. Zoe and I were going to go to the rec deck anyway. You want to come along?
Jane asked me to work on some things before I got her up, Savitri said. Some other time.
You work harder for Jane than you ever did for me, I said.
It's the power of inspiring leadership, Savitri said.
Nice, I said.
Savitri made shooing motions.
I'll ping your PDA when Jane is up, Savitri said. Now go, you're distracting me.
The Magellan's recreation deck was arrayed like a small park and was packed with colonists and their families, sampling the diversions the Magellan would offer them on our week-long journey to Skip Distance, thence to Roanoke. As we arrived, Zoe spied a trio of teenage girls and waved. One waved back and beckoned her over. I wondered if it was Gretchen Trujillo. Zoe left me with a quick backward glance goodbye. I wandered around the deck, watching my fellow colonists. Soon enough, most of them would recognize me as the colony leader. For now, however, I was safely and happily anonymous. At first glance, the colonists seemed to be moving freely among each other, but after a minute or two I noticed some clumping, with groups of colonists standing apart. English was the common language of all the colonies, but each world also had its secondary languages, largely based on the stock of its original colonists. I heard snatches of these languages as I walked: Spanish, Chinese, Portuguese, Russian, German.
You hear them too,
someone said behind me. I turned and saw Trujillo.
All the different languages, he said, and smiled. Residue from our old worlds, I guess you would say. I doubt people will stop speaking them when we get to Roanoke. This your subtle way of suggesting that the colonists won't be in a rush to trade in their own nationalities to become newly minted Roanokers? I said.
It's just an observation. And I'm sure in time we all will become Roanokers,
Trujillo said, pronouncing that last word as if it were something spiky that he had been required to swallow.
It will just take some time. Possibly more time than you now suspect. We are doing something different here, after all. Not just creating a new colony from the old line colony worlds, but mixing 10 different cultures into one colony. To be entirely honest about it, I have my reservations. I think the Department of Colonization should have taken my original suggestion and let just one of the colony's field settlers.
Well, that's bureaucracy for you, I said. Always messing up perfect plans.
Yes, well, Trujillo said,
and waved his hand slightly, to encompass the polyglot settlers and possibly me.
We both know this is as much about my feud with Secretary Bell as anything else. She was against Roanoke from the start, but there was too much momentum from the colonies for her to stop this from happening. But there was nothing stopping her from making it as impractical as possible to manage, including offering the colony leadership to a pair of well-meaning neophytes who have no idea where the landmines are in this situation, and who will make convenient scapegoats if the colony fails.
Oh, you're saying we're patsies, I said.
I'm saying that you and your wife are intelligent, competent, and politically expendable, Trujillo said. When the colony fails, the blame will fall on you, not on Bell.
Even though she chose us, I said.
Did she?
Trujillo said.
I heard you were suggested by General Rybicki. He's well enough insulated from political fallout because he's CDF, and they're not required to care about politics. No, when the shit hits Perry, it's going to roll downhill right onto you and your wife.
You're sure the colony will fail? I said.
And yet here you are. I'm sure the colony could fail, Trujillo said. And I'm sure there are those, Secretary Bell among them, who would be happy to see it fail as payback against their political enemies and to cover up their own incompetence. They certainly designed it to fail. What can keep it from failing are people with the will and experience to help it survive. Someone like you, for example, I said.
Trujillo took a step closer to me.
Perry, I understand it's easy to think that this is all just about my ego. Really, I do. But I want you to consider something else for a moment. There are 2,500 people on this ship who are here because 6 years ago I stood up in the CU representative chamber and demanded our colonization rights. I am responsible for their being here, and because I was powerless to stop Bell and her cronies from jury-rigging this colony to self-destruct, I'm responsible for putting these people in danger. This morning I wasn't suggesting you let us help with colony administration just because I need to run things. I was suggesting it because given what the DOC has given you to work with, you're going to need all the help you can get. And those of us in that room with you this morning have been living with this for years. If we don't help you, the alternative is failure, straight and sure.
Well, I appreciate the confidence in our leadership skills, I said.
You're not hearing what I'm saying, Trujillo said.
Damn it, Perry, I want you to succeed. I want this colony to succeed. The very last thing I want to do is undermine the leadership of you and your wife. If I did that, I'd be jeopardizing the lives of everyone in the colony. I'm not your enemy. I want to help you fight the people who are.
You're saying the Department of Colonization would put 2,500 people at risk to get back at you? I said.
No, Trujillo said. Not to get back at me, but to counter a threat to its colonial practices? To help the CU keep the colonies in their place? 2,500 colonists are not too many for a thing like that. If you know anything about colonization, you know 2,500 colonists is the standard size for a seed colony. We lose seed colonies from time to time. We expect to lose a few. We're used to it. It's not 2,500 people. It's just one seed colony. But this is where it gets interesting. One seed colony lost is well within expectations for DOC colonization protocols.
but the colonists come from 10 different CU worlds, all of which are colonizing for the first time. Each of those worlds will feel the failure of the colony. It's a blow to the national psyche. And then the DOC can turn around and say, "This is why we don't let you colonize, to protect you." They'll spoon-feed that argument to the colonies. All the colonies will swallow it down and we'll be back to the status quo.
It's an interesting theory, I said.
Barry, you were in the Colonial Defense Forces for years, Trujillo said. You know the end results of CU policies. Can you honestly tell me, with all your experience, that the scenario I've outlined for you is completely outside the realm of possibility?